Good morning. The reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Brad. Well, this is the Sermon on the Mount. If you can picture the top of the Sea of Galilee, there's a mountain that, not a mountain, but it's a hill that goes up, and Jesus is sitting on this hill, and the crowds gather around him. Today, that place is called the Mount of Beatitudes, and so we call these 12 verses in the beginning of Matthew 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. But it's been something that's been admired, been lifted up by many people, Christian and others, as some of the greatest teaching in all of human history. But because of that, there's something of an image of Jesus that we have to, for the sake of our children, and for the sake of the community that we live in, our neighbors, our friends, for the sake even of the world that we live in, we have to get out of our heads. We simply have to get rid of it. It's a misguided, it's a fundamentally wrong understanding of who Jesus is and what he actually brings. Here is Jesus in this passage teaching, and some have taken from it that what Jesus is teaching, he's just teaching the kind of things, the principles, the guidelines that if we were to embrace them, if we were to live them, the world would be a better place. If we were to follow this teaching of Jesus and somehow or another behave better and in the way that the Beatitudes teach us, things would go well for us. Have to admit, I looked this up because this is the thing that came to my mind. I'm not trying to give an advertisement for Coca-Cola by any stretch, but do you remember that song? Maybe you don't. But there was one that came out years and years back. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. People look at the Sermon on the Mount and think, you know, if only we started singing or living the teaching that Jesus gives us here, life would be good. There'd be harmony in the whole of the earth. That understanding of Jesus and what we call the Beatitudes here is wrong. It's truly wrong. Unfortunately, sadly, it is wrong because we know it. We know it, if we're real about it, that there are those who mourn who will not be comforted, who are not strengthened in their sorrow. There are people who have deep longings, hungers and thirsts, if you want to call it, for justice and for righteousness, who are going to take that longing to the grave itself. They'll not see it. When Jesus speaks to Andrew and Peter, come, follow me. We looked at that last week. When Jesus extends and gives that invitation to us, come, follow me. What Jesus is saying, he's not giving new information. Jesus is simply saying, he's saying God's doing a new thing. I have good news for you. A new day has started, and that new day has started in me. I want you to come and follow me. Simply come, follow me, and I'm going to open the windows of your mind. I'm going to open the windows of your heart, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to reveal to you in myself a radically new and different kind of way of living. You know, the story with the children this morning, it's just as relevant for us, for me. You know, people in our world, maybe we ourselves, we think to ourselves that you know, if we could catch this, you know, if we could get this, you know, success or popularity, recognition, wealth, who wouldn't want to win the lottery? Who wouldn't want long life? Who doesn't want to live to 90 or to be 100 and so on? But the good news that Jesus brings turns all of that way of thinking upside down, because God is at work doing a new thing. And God is going to pour out his lavish blessing on everyone who turns to Jesus, puts their faith, their trust in him, chooses to follow in his way and accept the new thing that God is doing. To the humble, to the poor in spirit, to those who mourn, who know loss, to everyone who longs for justice and truth to prevail, to everyone who works for peace, to those who are mocked and ridiculed and insulted, there's good news. It's the blessing of God rests on you. The favor of God is on you. Now you may say, okay, get just as real about this as you were saying others need to be before, George. How does that happen? When does that happen? Is this blessing of God that Jesus talks about here, Matthew 5, is it real? I mean, is it maybe just more of this Christian pie in the sky kind of stuff? It's not. In the next chapter, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives his disciples a new way to pray. We're going to pray it next week, actually, as we come to the table of the Lord for communion. We call it the Lord's Prayer. But in that prayer, Jesus says we're to pray that God's kingdom would come, that God's will would be done. We sang about it this morning. God's will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And I can't afford, neither can you, and our children absolutely can't be afford to be fuzzy and muddle-headed about this. It's important that we're really sharp and clear on this. Every time you hear Jesus say something about heaven, you have to get it. I have to get it. When Jesus talks about heaven, that's a present realm where Jesus is king already. And God's plan, it's like look at two realms side by side, the realm of heaven and the realm of earth. And God's plan is for the realm of heaven and the life that it represents, where God is king over all, for that to become his realm here in this world, transforming everything, changing everything, turning everything upside down, so that this world becomes everything that God always intended it to be, a place of delight, a place of joy, a place of peace, a place of hope, a place of love. Everyone who follows Jesus gets to start to live. It's like we get to pull from this realm of heaven here, we get to pull it. The future becomes the present. It's the presence of the future right here and right now by the grace and the goodness of God as we follow Jesus. We can live now in the present the way of tomorrow, the new way, God's new way of tomorrow, and Jesus makes it all possible. I want to quickly run through all of this. I could go on and on and talk about each of the 8 or 9, if you want to call it, of the Beatitudes here, but I'm going to fly through it rather quickly this morning just to conclude. There really isn't a lot of time left. But God's grace comes before all of our choosing. God's yes from the realm of heaven, God's yes over us here and now is a sure, it's a certain, it's a strong and steadfast one. And what God does is he begins to soften the hearts of people, just like you and me. He's done it in our lives. He makes us willing and open. He takes our spirit and he makes it open, our spirit, to what he wants to say and teach. And here in the passage that Brad read for us, we see that people are sitting on this hillside listening, their spirit, their lives, their minds open, listening to the teaching of Jesus. In a couple of weeks, it's Friday, February 7th, I think, is it? In the Dust of the Rabbi, there's something like over 30 people already. I again, just really want to promote this and encourage you to come to this on the Friday evening, this new DVD series that we're going to be starting in the Dust of the Rabbi, because it's basically what the people in that day were doing. They were sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning from him as he taught, and we're going to have that opportunity as well, teaching about God's new way of living. And God blesses us when we choose to live in His ways. You know, I have to say this, that there's not one of us here this morning that has to come to God and say, okay, look at me, I'm a finished product. Are you there? No, I'm not there. Andrew and Peter and James and John, they were not finished products either. They stumbled, they erred, they blew it all along the way of that three-year apprenticeship, as it were, that they had with Jesus. All that God is looking for, all that Jesus asks of us, is our willingness to give ourselves wholeheartedly to as much of what we've come to learn and understand of Him. That's why we have to sit at His feet, as it were, and learn from Him. And we do that day by day. The couple in the video talked about getting into the Word of God, the choices that we make each day. And God pours out His blessing, and we start to grow in this transformation of life. This change from who we are day by day begins to emerge as we go more deeply and deeply into God's new way of living. So there's the sequence. It's the grace of God. It's the choice that we make day by day, and it's the blessing of God that's poured out on our lives. We come to the first of them, the first of the Beatitudes, Jesus' teaching. You'll recognize this one. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." I have the notes for you on the back of the bulletin. You can keep that. But I word this in this way. When we read this, blessed are the poor in spirit. We recognize that we can do nothing without God. We come to God, really, in our need, our weakness, as that couple in the video did. God, we can't do anything without You. And what God does is He begins to share with us the blessing of living under His rule and His reign, His new way of life. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. That's not only those who know the loss like the couple did in the video, or we may have experienced loss with loved ones in our own families. It's that we're saddened by our own sin and by the sin that's around us. Cancer, death, that's an evil. It's a sin. And we're saddened by all of that, and we bring that to God. And what God does is He wipes away our tears. He comforts us. He heals us. He restores us. We come to the next one. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. We have this sort of this vision of meek as being someone who's not able to take anything, a bit of a wimp. That's not it at all. Meekness is strength, really. It's the strength to surrender all that we are, everything that we do, everything that's a part of our lives. We surrender it to God. And what God does, it says inherits the earth, but we are lifted up. God honors us. He lifts us up. We come then to the next one, which is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. We desire in our lives, this is a God-given, this is a grace of God. We desire to do what is right, what's just, what breathes of truth and righteousness. We desire to do that and let our lives be pleasing to God. And the blessing of God comes, satisfying the desires of our heart to see justice done and truth prevail. The next one, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. We, like God, are generous in our actions towards others of love and of grace. We've received mercy. We've received the grace and the love of God, and we, in turn, show that to others. And the blessing of God on our lives as God becomes, we experience more and more and more of the generosity of God on our lives. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We choose. We have this purity of heart, this singularity of vision. We choose to give our whole life to God, who's the only one worthy of our devotion and our full love. And what we have this blessing that comes to us of seeing more of God at work in our own lives and at work in the world. We have new eyes, as it were. We're given heavenly glasses to see God at work. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. We choose an intentional, deliberate choice to be agents of God's peace, living at peace as far as it's possible with others and seeking to bring about peace. We're on God's side in that. And the blessing there is the blessing of experiencing the deep joy understanding ourselves to be a child of God, a son and a daughter of the living God, a part of God's family. The next one is one, to be honest, that we can experience, but we see it experienced in a larger measure and way by Christians who are in other parts of the world, what we call the persecuted church, but we choose to be loyal. But it can come to us, even within our own community and workplace. We choose to be loyal to Jesus, no matter the cost, even in the face of suffering, of ridicule, of mocking, and of insult. And the blessing that we experience is that of knowing the presence of God with us, our friend, our confidant. God's with us, in us, and for us, now and forevermore. The scriptures tell us that we're to take every thought captive. Because this battle, as it were, to live this kind of life, to make these kinds of choices, is a battle that's experienced in the mind. It's the choices that we make every day. And so God's Word tells us, Philippians 4:8, and I hope that you will take this. It's written out for you in the back of your bulletins. Take this, put it on the refrigerator, put it on the mirror in the bathroom, put it someplace. This call of God to fix our thoughts on what's true, on what's honorable, what's right, everything that's pure and lovely and admirable, to think about these things. This is the way of Jesus. This is Jesus himself incarnate, God in the flesh. Think about these things. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of our praise. I want to invite you to join with me in prayer now. Hillary and the others can come up. Carol can come up. We're going to sing He Reigns. But we're going to pray. These Beatitudes, the 8 or 9 of them, are not things like rungs on a ladder that we have to master and climb one by one by one. This is a way of life that we gain and we experience as we make the choice day by day to follow Jesus and experience the reign of God over our lives. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we recognize that we ourselves have looked at your teaching so often as something where it rests with us to become the master of it. Change our heart this morning. Change our minds this morning to see that you're the master. You're the one who's Lord. You're our teacher, our rabbi. We bring you ourselves just as we are, putting our faith and our trust to follow you and experience the blessing that comes that we can live in this new realm, this new way, this way of tomorrow, starting to come alive here and now in our present. Without you, there's no comfort. Without you, there's no healing. Without you, there's no deliverance. Without you, there's no ultimate victory. We turn to you, our hope, our trust. It's not in what's around us. It's not in others. It's not in what we've gained and achieved. It's in you. So come and show and make yourself real in our lives as we go from here as the one who reigns over all, who provides for us every step of the way. We commit ourselves to you, praying in faith and trust. Amen.